Amy, you were talking about some of these acrostics. We know what YRR is now because of the popularity of the Young Restless Reform movement that kind of hit evangelicalism like a storm.
Nobody
And
tried
tons
it.
of people became, quote, reformed. And I think we're seeing now that really of the YRR, the R that stands for reformed, was the least, the one that carried the least weight with a lot of these folks.
You had a sort of marriage, I think, of a cool aesthetic, a hipster aesthetic that was just right for the times in the first decade of the 21st century, with a what is really a pretty broad evangelical theology with a bit of a reformed spin at one or two points, three, maybe 4 points of Calvinism. And as the personalities that helped generate that cool aesthetic, primarily, of course, a character like Mark Driscoll, as they have been shown really to be men, not just with feet of clay, but with the whole, from the neck down to be made of clay, essentially, the movement has lurched into crisis.
You know, when we decided to talk about bandwagons today, I was remembering this article you wrote, Carl, a while back ago, and I didn't realize how long ago it was, but it was back in 2009. It's called "Messiah's Pointing to the Door," and so I was looking it up this morning, trying to figure out which article it was, and because you said a couple of things in there that still stick with me, and you said one thing you said was that people want the gods to do the thinking for them, and gods with a little g, and these celebrities. A lot of time it's just so much easier. You hear these persuasive speakers, they stand for a lot of the same things that we do, and we become lazy. And then another thing you said is at the end, you kind of end it with the question is, when it comes to churches and ministries built around messiahs who are supposed to point not to themselves, but to the true door, who is going to have the guts to leave the temple? And of course, you
I
were
mean,
quoting another celebrity there, the Who.
of course, yeah, The Who. It's a
Well,
classic moment
always
from
goes back to
the
the
rock
Who, but
opera Tommy.
Okay, so Carl, let me ask you about this. Does it feel good to be able to say, "I told you so," without necessarily saying it, but just knowing that you could at this point, does that feel good at all?
Oh, absolutely. It's the best. I mean,
So you
what is
don't say,
so
"I hate to
amusing to
say
me is
it."
that we've suddenly seen in the last month, now that there's nothing personal at stake, there's nothing to be lost from speaking out against these people. In fact, there might be much to gain. Suddenly, the blogosphere is full of prophetic voices saying things that, all credit to them. Team Pyro were saying way back, nearly 10 years ago, Team Pyro were saying this stuff. I've been saying it since 2009, 2010. All of these establishment figures have suddenly emerged, and they're all heroically standing for the truth at this point. And it's really rather pathetic. I haven't seen any apologies to Team Pyro for all of the garbage that was heaped on them for calling this stuff early on. I haven't received any apologies from the top men who were sending me such unpleasant emails behind the scenes and telling me to, for want of a better, shut my trap about people like Driscoll. So I have to say, from a human perspective, it is absolutely satisfying to be able to say, "I told you also, and I told you so many years ago."
Exactly. And I remember you when you first began to write some things on the celebrity culture within evangelicalism generally and within the YRR movement. You got a lot of pushback on that. And I guess one of the things that's grieved me just in the last week as news has surfaced and things are going really poorly for Mark Driscoll, one of the things that's grieved me has been that we're seeing now people jettison their identification with any sort of doctrine that they would have before because they've been so disappointed in a man. It's throwing out, I'm no longer reformed. Mark Driscoll made me mad, so now I'm a big Rachel Held Evans fan. This sort of really sad consequences. There's a lot of fallout when a celebrity Christian falls, and the evangelical subculture has a lot of blood on its hands because of this, because we have
Blood on my
so
hands.
blood on my. I like that imagery for some reason, don't I? Well, the evangelical subculture has because it loves bandwagons, it loves celebrities, and it loves these kinds of
leaders. To use Todd, another of Todd's famous phrases, here's the deal.
Here's the deal.
People want gods to do the thinking for them, so they go right from Mark Driscoll to Rachel Held Evans.
Right.
Yeah.
Where are the people doing the thinking for themselves?
Right. Right.
Well, there's a lot of them actually, but it is sad that you can move from one tribe to the next and swing from one side of the pendulum to the next. Mm-hmm. Like that.
I do have to say at this point, Amy, we have banned the word tribe on this podcast. You're treading dangerously close.
I'm using it in a negative light.
Being removed from the list of honorary guys, which includes only you at the moment, of course. But I think in what we're touching on here as well, it points to there's a sort of twin side of this phenomenon. On the one hand, you've got the people who are now abandoning the bandwagon and going off after, you know, the latest powerful personality who communicates well, you know, somebody like Rachel Held Evans. On the other hand, you have the phenomenon of the true believer who simply can't accept that it's a fraud and a sham. Reminds me of a program I saw on the television a few years ago about these scams where people start sending money to somebody who's emailed them in order to get some incredible return on the money, on their investment. Gradually, it becomes clear that the whole thing is a scam, it's a con trick. But long after these very intelligent people have realized it's a con trick, they continue to send money in. And some of these people, lawyers and doctors, being interviewed on this program about this psychological phenomenon. And what seemed to be the case was they had invested so much in it, even when they knew it was a scam, it was still easier to keep sending money in one last desperate spin of the wheel for it to be true than to act to accept the reality. And I think when you look at people like Mark Driscoll and the Mars Hill Empire and other associated music hall acts, it's very clear that people become so invested in them that even when they're exposed, it becomes very hard. You know, if it's hard for the top men to say sorry to people like us and Team Pyro for beating you up, we got it wrong. If it's hard for them, it's also hard for the what we might call the foot soldiers of the movement to realize that, yeah, we've invested 5, 10, 15 years of our lives in this. We've invested tens of thousands, perhaps, of personal tithe dollars in this. Yeah. And it's been a scam.
Yeah.
Somebody's been living high on the hog on it. Yeah.
Right. Right. A lot of shame involved with having to say, gosh, you know, the movement, the church, the person I invested myself in was a sham. That's hard. Yeah. That's really hard to do.
So what do you say then for positive advice for those who find themselves in these situations, for those of us who are watching from the outside but belong to, you know, good local churches?
Yeah.
What positive things can we say here?
I've thought about this from two. First of all, just as a side note, as news continues to break in regard to Mark Driscoll, you know, the latest is that Lifeway, which is the Southern Baptist kind of publishing and book arm, they're no longer carrying his books. That was just announced upon this recording. This was just announced yesterday. So the news is not bad, and I do, my heart breaks for his kids, for instance. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage Christians to pray for his kids that the Lord would guard their hearts and guard their faith, because this has got to be terribly difficult. But to Amy's question, I would say first thing is really scrutinize the church that you're a part of. Join a church with good polity. Yeah? Yep.
Yeah, I think a good transparent confession, a good book of church, or what we call in Presbyterianism, a book of church order that connects the confession to the processes for church discipline, nurture discipleship. And also, I would say, particularly to Baptist friends, a church with a plurality of elders.
Right.
If you've just got the one man in charge, it's going to be a disaster ultimately. Yeah. New Testament, I think, clearly teaches a plurality of elders. Mm-hmm. Every pastor needs to be accountable.
Right.
And I would reiterate what I've said about pastors before. If you're a pastor of a church, then be present among your people. I have quite a vigorous travel schedule myself at different points in the year, but I'm not away many Sundays. Mm-hmm. I'm typically in my church 3 or 4 Sundays a month, whether I'm preaching or not, mixing people afterwards. Be transparent, open, and accessible to your people.
Right.
All of those things, I think, help cultivate a healthy church atmosphere, where the kind of cults of celebrity that we're talking about here, it's simply harder for them to take root.
Well, speaking of your vigorous schedule, Carl, I want to just close with a question here. I think one of the biggest pushbacks, we've kind of been talking about this whole bandwagon thing, and it's very much related to Christian celebrity. You've spoken out a lot against that. You're kind of known for that now. But the biggest pushback that people give you is that you are, in fact, a celebrity.
He is so well known.
Maybe can you close with a convincing argument of why you're not a celebrity and what is the difference?
People hate me.
If you are, are you a celebrity, Carl?
I'm getting tremendous pleasure out of this right now.
My response to that would be, first of all, they're wrong. Secondly, we're out of time, so we can close that. No, seriously, I would again go back to a distinction I've made repeatedly. And that is, there is this distinction between being a celebrity and being a public figure. Anybody who speaks or acts in public is a public figure. Some public figures are more well-known and more influential than others. Celebrity carries with it, for me, a faux intimacy. You know, you've got Twitter accounts where people you've never met before are referring to you by your first name. There's a chumminess with people that you've never met before that comes across. And you leverage what you've got in order to have influence far beyond any level of accountability. Now, I would say, you know, maybe by some people's definition, I've had celebrity thrust upon me. Maybe I have. You won't find me plugging my own books. You won't find me talking up my speaking engagements. You won't find me to be easily accessible anywhere other than in my local church on a Sunday. You won't find my, you know, how to contact Carl Truman up on any website which I know anywhere. So right. I do my best, if you like, to limit my influence and to make sure that where I do exert influence, I am accountable. People can read my books. People can listen to the podcast. They can be influenced by them. I can't stop that. But what I'm not going to do is the kind of ostentatious tactics that I see the Mark Driscolls of this world pursuing. And quite frankly, I've experienced myself from the top men at some of these parachurch organizations where if you criticize them, they work behind the scenes to shut you down. They make sure you don't get, you know, they're going to try to make sure you don't speak. They're going to try and make sure that you don't have the avenues of speaking out. I'm not going to leverage informal means of control and influence in the way that I think the young, restless and reformed culture has done so, and which frankly has ultimately led to its invidious corruption. Anyway, on that cheery note, as the one great celebrity of the three of us here, I'm grateful for having been put on the spot there. And I'll just wrap us up now by saying thank you very much for listening in a kind of faux intimate way to the Mortification of Spin. We trust you will come back and listen next time. In the meantime, we wish you well for the next week. Goodbye.